Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground. And you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures and must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
You know, if you can find the joy in the small moment, life will always be that much more fun. That's what Hello's oral and personal care products are all about. They take the mundane of every day and inject it with some everyday yay. Take Hello's anti-plaque and whitening fluoride-free toothpaste, for instance. It will brighten your routine and delight your senses with a formula that's equal parts fresh, friendly, and has plaque-fighting power. Or see the difference that a whitening toothpaste powered by vitamin C can do for your smile with Hello's vitamin C whitening fluoride toothpaste. With thoughtful and fun products that can make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to happy, to making the most of every moment. Say hello to a vegan, cruelty-free, and never tested on animals toothpaste. And say so long to dyes, parabens, artificial sweeteners and flavors, and other things you can do without. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Okay, so I have a little bit of regret about running a second cemetery show just in our first six shows and also doing it right before Christmas. And as I was trying to promote it on our Twitter page and on Facebook, I was like, it occurred to me that I'm putting pictures of graves up.
Oh,
2 weeks before
right.
Christmas. I don't know. I feel,
You know what? This is the thing, though, Scott. As you just said it just now, and you said we're doing a second cemetery show, I didn't really even relate that to what Mark did because it's a lot of fun. It's more like a show on celebrities. They just happen to be dead.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at.
I just was
that's
thinking
where
about, like,
but you're right.
One of our fans actually said to me, she was like, oh, this reminds me of the Halloween, the Greyfriars. You know,
oh,
it's like, because
right.
when I think about it, you know, so we got six shows. The first one is not really cemeteries, but it's dead celebrities. Then we're doing a cemetery. Now we're doing dead celebrities in a cemetery.
Okay, now I see it. Yes.
Yeah. So just four shows. We just want to tell our fans that we're going to start turning in some different directions here.
Those are just shows that we had lined.
We're shooting
topics. Those are topics that we had ready to go.
Yeah.
Mark, you know, he's been doing this for years. He's really knowledgeable about it, as you will hear or have heard. And so it's like, well, let's just get Mark to do that. Like, it's let's go.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do it, and he did a great job.
Yeah.
And there it is. But right, it's not a trend. Yeah.
No, it's not a trend. And to that end, we're going to take you now into our Christmas special. I don't know if you can really.
Which will be another trend. It'll be all Christmas topics
all next year,
the rest of the year. Yeah.
The whole 2015 is going to be Christmas shows.
No. And demons.
And demons. Ah, I love demons. Welcome back to Astonishing Legends. I'm Scott Philbrook.
And I'm Forrest Burgess.
What the hell is that thing?
I'm afraid we're being visited upon by the Krampus.
What kind of kinky Christmas spirit is that?
It is Germanic in origin.
That was from the animated series The Venture Brothers on Adult Swim, from the episode A Very Venture Christmas.
How is Christmas in your house? It's good?
What do you mean? Like, just traditionally?
Yeah, I mean,
oh,
do you,
yeah,
are you
no,
attached
no,
to it? And by the
absolutely.
Way, all due respect to yeah. to people who celebrate Hanukkah and all the other traditions and Kwanzaa, there's a lot of there's a lot of different traditions.
Sure.
We're going to be talking about Christmas tonight.
It's what we know.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's what we know.
Right.
But
Christmas is great at our house. I mean, it's not a lot of folks like the old days when I was a little kid and we had a bunch of other peripheral relatives, and it was a big deal. I'm an only child.
So am I.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but when I was a little kid, you know, we'd have uncles and aunts, and we'd have two giant dinner tables stuck together. It was a big deal. Actually, you know what? Even Thanksgiving was a lot of people. But now that, you know, we're older and people have moved away, and unfortunately some have passed away, it's really just kind of a small, intimate affair. But I really enjoy it. I'm 10 years old again. And it's just really great going back to see the folks, and takes you right back to your old memories. But didn't you go out of town one time?
Well, yeah. I have the large extended Southern family.
Right.
I still have them. There's a lot of them.
Some of them listen to this show. You try to get away from them.
Yeah,
they're still there.
I got to be a little diplomatic there,
yeah.
But or a lot diplomatic. But yeah, it's a lot of people. When you get us all together, it's, you know, 20 people, some by marriage and – you know, others by blood. But
right.
a few years ago, I think it was 2006, my grandmother, who's the matriarch of the family, took everyone to London for Christmas.
Wow. What sparked that idea?
You know, it was just something she wanted to do. She loved London. She used to love traveling when she was younger. She doesn't do it so much anymore. So
yeah,
she rented us a couple of flats in the Mayfair district in London, and we all flew over there, and
I'm sorry. Did she have any history with London or England?
No, other than visiting, you know.
Right. And what,
like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, no, see, to the American, it's Charles Dickens. It's a classic, you know, traditional Christmas.
Yes.
And where it all started, and it's, you know, all that kind of lore.
I got to tell you, I loved it. I love London. I loved England. And at the time, I had been living in New York City for...
That's another great place to experience Christmas,
it's
too.
It's wonderful. Yeah, at Christmas.
Chestnuts roasting on the street.
It's really great. You know, my wife worked at Saturday Night Live, so, you know, the tree went up every year at Rockefeller Center. It's just it's an amazing feeling to be in the city at Christmas.
Yeah.
But... So London, you know, we knew the flavor of it a little
you
bit.
You had romantic ideas of what it should be like, right?
Yeah. But it turns out, you know, Christmas traditions aren't the same everywhere you go.
No, they are not.
And one of the traditions in America is you pretty much work. Right. They only get about 10 days off, five days in some cases.
Now, if it's Thanksgiving, it's all the way through and you skip the whole dinner and you just go shopping.
I'll tell you what happens in London around Christmas and Boxing Day.
Yeah.
It's a ghost town. It's like 28 days later. I mean, people are gone.
Right.
There is nothing
open. Well, they're at home, right?
Yeah.
Now, do they go out of town or they're just at home?
I don't know.
Okay.
The windows were shuttered.
Wow.
There was no one anywhere. And this was the thing about the trip that made it a little bit of a disaster.
Well, you're starting off. Look, anytime you get a bunch of family together on a trip, and everyone's they're not friends of yours who all have similar traveling.
Everyone had different agendas.
They all want to do different things.
Yeah.
We want to go see this. We want to eat this. We want to go look at this.
Yeah,
you don't all agree.
Yeah.
So that's a monumental undertaking.
Yeah, like I didn't really care about going on the I. Did y'all go on the I, you know, the giant Ferris wheel on the Thames?
Oh, my God. Like, you know, just the thought of a bunch of Southerners in London.
Yeah. Hey, just now, careful. It's my family.
No. I'm just saying.
You don't know anything about the South, so don't start.
I've been there
Mr.
a few times.
Kaczynski from Kaczynski land.
He wasn't in it. That's not even. See, you're wrong about that.
Well,
he's
in Montana.
I don't confuse South and North Carolina. I know your barbecue is different.
All right.
Okay.
The worst part about it is that we booked this tour on a bus to go see Stonehenge and Bath and all of this stuff. And the thing was, what the bus company should have said was, no, we're closed. No, don't do this today.
Yeah,
we're not going to do this.
They offered, that's the thing. They were open. They're taking your money.
Yeah, they were open. And this tour was recommended by Rick Steves, actually, who writes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So it's like, oh, this has got to be good. You know,
but not then. You didn't read the whole thing.
I don't think he was reviewing it on Boxing Day.
Because I will say, no, I love Rick Steves because I took a trip to Italy and I read his book about it.
Yeah.
And even the little tiny things of like, oh, go to this pensione, talk to mama so-and-so, tell her I sent you. And guess what? You go there and you say that and it's her and she knows him.
Right.
It's like, oh, Rick Steves.
Yeah.
No. No, he's very accurate. It's kind of like a really close friend who knows it very well, telling you what to do, and you go there, and it's real, and you do it. Yeah, except for this.
Not what happened with us. We got on the bus, all like 75,000 of us. So we go out to Stonehenge, and it's closed. Not only is it closed, there's a giant fence around it. The bus stops, and we get out and stand on the side of the road and look at Stonehenge through a chain-link fence from, like, 30 yards away.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed.
But the driver wasn't even that nice. He was just didn't even get off the bus.
It wasn't John Candy.
No, there was nobody. Like,
okay.
It's just kind of like they stop and the door opened.
Yeah.
You know, and we all walk out, through the fence, get back on. So then we go to Bath. And Bath, I'm telling you, if you've seen the movie 28 Days Later, which is the zombies, like, or any post-apocalyptic film,
right.
That's what was going on in Bath. I mean, there was no one anywhere. It was like a movie set that was empty.
Hello?
Well, I presume they're at home. This is the thing, though. In Europe, you know, you have, they always say don't go visiting during the month of August, like in Spain, because it's hot and it's muggy. They go elsewhere.
Yeah.
So a lot of things are closed, and you kind of...
They forgot to tell my grandmother that not to go at Christmas, I'll tell you. Or, you know, my family in general. Like, we weren't expecting things to be as shut down as they were.
Right.
And in addition to that, when we got to Bath, we were there for a little while and it turned out that some of my family and some of the other people on the bus needed to go to the bathroom. The bus did not have a bathroom. And not only that, the driver had no idea where there was a bathroom. There were lots of places that you might have gone in, but they were all closed.
Right.
So then I wound up taking over rescuing all the people that need to go to the bathroom. I'm running through Bath. I found a Holiday Inn.
Oh, I gotta pee, I gotta pee, I gotta pee, I gotta pee. Hotel. Hello, do you have a restroom?
The whole bus drives over to the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
So everyone can take a pee break.
Oh, boy.
And then also we went to this restaurant. There was supposed to be lunch.
Yeah.
The food was awful. The service was bad. They ran out of wine while we were there.
You don't want to do that. Yeah.
And then on top of that, there was like this drunk guy there who could barely walk, and the bus driver let him ride with us back to London.
Excuse me.
Wait, were they friends or something?
Well, no. He acted like, oh, another bus left him behind. It's like, well, do you not do a head count? What is happening?
Wow.
So then
that guy
comes back. He sits back in the back of the bus next to my cousin. The guy passed out, fully passed out. And like as he's leaning over, it becomes apparent that he's wearing a thong.
Oh, my God.
This is a large, drunk man.
Right.
You know, clearly from the area.
But it does sound like a British comedy now.
Yeah, I know. But so we're riding back, and then the bus driver's like, oh, I'm going to put a movie on. By the way, this has already been awful. So the Stonehenge didn't work out.
Right.
Bath didn't work out. People had to go to the bathroom, whatever. The guy puts a movie on, because there are TVs on the bus. So he throws on a movie.
Yeah.
It's Terminator 2.
Well, that's a pretty good movie, though.
No,
I love that.
It's Christmas. Yeah. We're driving around in this bus, and I'm watching people dissolve to ashes in that thermonuclear meltdown scene. It's awful.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
And we tried to get a refund.
Die Hard would have been good, though, because that takes – so a movie that
takes – That's a good
Christmas
movie.
Yeah, because
everybody
it takes place around Christmas. But, or what's the other one? The Mel Gibson, Danny Glover –
Oh, the Lethal Weapon.
But still, it would have been a little bit better. But I know what you're saying. It's just not the context is wrong. It's not appropriate. It's one more thing that is just not right about this.
Yeah, the whole trip was like the only fun that my wife and I had fun because we had brought a book with a walking tour in it that we did, and it was a blast. We had a really good time.
Oh, you just followed the book's recommendations.
Yeah, you know, while everybody else went on the eye. But
how was the Ferris wheel?
I don't know. I could have cared less.
No, I know. But you couldn't. You mean to say you couldn't have cared less? Yeah.
I could. Yes, I couldn't have cared less. I should say. Thank you for correcting.
Well, no, I'm just saying it because it means you cared a little.
I didn't want to do the touristy stuff.
No, you know
living
what?
Living in Manhattan, you learn.
It doesn't matter where you would have gone.
I never went to Times Square while I was in Manhattan. Not on purpose, anyway.
No, and I've been. That's the thing. I've been there. Not right at Christmas, of course, because I spend that with my family, but I've been in Manhattan for Thanksgiving, and I've been there for New Year's in 2000, and it was like, that was a big deal, but you didn't have to do it. The town is so alive and so festive, and they really do it upright that you don't have to do much. Just walk around, go see stuff.
Wonderful.
And it's great, but because I know what you're talking about, like when you read up on it. You know, the idea of a restaurant being open. It's like they didn't really have that, what we have now. All you had was the public house. So if you were a lone guy, unmarried, there's a few choices to go get a meal.
Right.
It's not you can't – there's no Red Lobster. You can't just walk in, you know, and get a table. Nothing's open. People are doing that at home with their own families.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's what they were doing. And tonight's show is about varying traditions, specifically at Christmas. And all I can tell you is that if you're an American and you're planning to go have fun in London, don't go at Christmas time.
unless you're British or you know a British family, then maybe that would be fun.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You got to do it a different way.
Because
the flip side, we did it.
Yeah. You know what? And
By the way, we had a great trip. Overall, it was very fun.
Right. Well, you're together. You were with your family.
I mean, there was a lot of great stuff about it.
Even that's a It's not
it was
a great
not
memory,
good for
right.
sightseeing. But you know what? One of my close friends, George, and his wife, Ashley, just came back from Berchtesgaden, Germany.
Oh, is that in the southern part of – is that near
it's
Bavaria?
Like southeastern, right on near the border of Australia.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Excuse me, Australia. Did I just say Australia?
It's in the middle. It's an island continent in the middle of Europe.
Australia.
They're very close.
The border of Austria.
Yeah.
And it's in the region down there. And George, when he was a kid, he lived there because his dad, I think, was one of the main guys who operated a recreational military base there. So
for the GIs, not for
the
guy who was running the war.
Well, it was one of Hitler's former mountain getaways. And
yeah.
We, of course, turned it into a vacation spot.
Well, it's a Six Flags now.
Which, by the way, if you're going to be in the military, it seems like a great job running
there. There are jobs like that. A friend of my dad's, he managed golf courses.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Rarely people are shooting at you.
Yeah,
so,
didn't see a whole lot of action, I guess. But anyway, so George specifically timed this trip because he wanted his wife to see what it's like on December 5th and 6th when they have a special kind of festival there that centers around Krampus.
Well, it's St. Nicholas Day, right?
Right, exactly.
December 6th.
Right.
So the night, they have their own eve, and it's a celebration of the Feast of St. Nicholas.
Right? Yes.
But they do it upright. But that's the thing. Look,
St. Nicholas, by the way, is a Catholic figure. But then who comes with St. Nicholas?
Well, you can't have the good without the bad, Scott. So you have a figure called Krampus, or Krampus, as we say here in the States. But he is a medieval figure that accompanies Saint Nick, mostly to scare your children into being good. That's right, really right. The purpose of the short, that's the what his purpose
the
is.
The short sum up is that he shows up with Saint Nick, right? How does he operate? He comes, he takes kids away.
Well, this is the thing.
Bad I think in a basket and carries them off, right?
It's the threat of carrying you off. That's all you need. You don't really need to carry the kids off. You need to scare the crap out of them. So, but he
hit them with sticks too, right?
He could if you're bad, but he also let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
So what the deal is that he is a demonic like figure, half beastie and furry and ugly. He's got horns, a very long tongue.
Gene Simmons' tongue.
He shows up on the eve of St. Nicholas Day, so it would be like the night of December 5th.
Okay.
And I think in some regions here, because this is the thing, it varies so differently throughout Europe, and a legend like this takes various forms. It's mutated. It's over the years, it's changed up to fit the local customs, very specifically of where you're at. So I believe in some of the customs, the children are supposed to clean their boots and their shoes, and they leave them out like in the foyer or
on the front porch.
In the front porch.
Yeah.
And if they've been good, they'll get a little treat. And it could be coins. It could be chocolates. It could be I wouldn't think we would put like sticky buns or pastries in there. It sounds disgusting. But if you're good, you get a treat. That's the idea. If you're bad, you'll get a lump of coal in your shoes.
Or a stick, right?
Well, or Krampus shows up and he beats the crap out of you.
Right.
Now, the thing is, it's so this you think like, okay, that's kind of wacky, but the traditions of this character go way back to paganism, druidism. It's all these things. It's pre-Christian
pagans
mythology.
People against goodness and normalcy.
You're not talking about that.
Good evening, pagans. Don't forget your goat leggings.
So what you have is this character, and basically it's parents taking some lore into their own hands, some legend, to scare your children into being good. See, here in the States, it's St. Nicholas, and all you do, if you're a bad kid, well, St. Nick, he knows you're on the naughty list. You're just not going to get any toys. There's no punishment, really, other than you're not going to get any toys.
All right, so if you're bad, there's imagery of him carrying children off.
Well, that's the thing. So he varies quite a bit depending on the region you're from, and it's usually the Alpine countries. So we're talking Bavaria into northern Austria, but even into Romania. There's versions all over Western Europe of this character, and he can sometimes have a basket, and he will either take the naughty children away with him in the basket off to his lair to do who knows what.
Okay, wait. I have questions about this.
Sure.
Do they ever come back? Or are they just gone forever? Is this death?
Well, this is the interesting thing. See, this is what I love about this because, you know, Scott, when we were thinking of a nice, light, fun topic like a demonic Christmas figure from the Middle Ages or even further after that, we wanted to be very conversational. Like, well, this would be fun. It's got a lot of great imagery. It's not ancient. The character's not that old, but it comes from very ancient roots, pre-Christian roots. But once you start diving into this, it goes in so many directions. And again, I'm going to coin the phrase wiki hole because there's so many links to different saints and traditions of France, which are slightly different than the Norse and Germanic traditions.
Is this where you're going to tell me about the Led Zeppelin? Zeppelin IV
I'm getting
cover?
To that. I'm okay. getting because that's really interesting. Again, there's so many little things that are kind of fun. But when you specifically ask me about do the kids in the basket ever come back, the image that popped into my head was from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And specifically, there's a great animated version of it that I really want you to show to your son because it scared the crap out of me when I was a kid, but I loved it because of just the way it was animated. And I believe one of the directors from Charles, we'll think of his name here in a second, but he used to do all the a lot of the Warner Brothers cartoons, and he's from Spokane. So the way that this is animated, because it's not cartoony, I think it was an Australian production, but it was the ghost of Christmas present, and he's a grandfather Christmas, which we're going to get to because this ties in. But under his cloak are the two children of Want and what's the other kid?
This boy is Ignorance. This girl is Want. Beware them both, but most of all, beware this boy.
They're scary. That's the point. They're emaciated. They're ghostly looking. And they're hiding under his cloak. And it's like, these are representative. This is what we're getting at. It's not physical children, although there's another tale about children actually being carried off, which sparks another similar figure to Krampus, another counterpart of the goodly Saint Nick. It's the idea of children, the innocents, being carried off to never be returned again. It's a grim fairy tale. It's a cautionary tale, which is what these are. Right. They're meant to scare people into being good.
Right.
When you don't have formed ideas, you make stuff up. So basically, this is what's happening is that you're scaring kids of like, well, he could carry you away and you may never come back. Now, there's other traditions
terrifying.
Where it's meant to be terrifying. Sometimes it's a basket to carry off children, or it could be a bundle of sticks, or it could be a basket holding a bundle of sticks. And a lot of times it could be birch.
Why does he have a bundle of sticks?
Well, to beat you with. But this is the thing, Scott. It's not just about that, because now when you're talking about branches and sticks and twigs, that goes back to Druid and pagan customs of honoring and worshiping the tree. And a lot of times it's birch. And, and being a stick, it could be phallic in nature. That's a lot of Wiccan and pagan ritual. It's about the sacredness of the tree itself and representations. But now you see it as a wreath. People put wreaths of boughs of holly, all that. All these things come from these traditions that are pre-Christian and very old. I wouldn't say really ancient, but they're very old. And, when you mentioned bundles of sticks, some have theorized that the photo of the old man with a giant bundle of sticks on his back on the album cover to Led Zeppelin 4 could be this other character who's very much like Krampus.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and say his name here. He's a French character. Père Fouettard.
Very nice.
Hey, Ryan, how does the Google Translate lady say it?
Père Fouettard.
What that means is that he is a French character, and I'll tell you the tale of him in a second here, because that's just frightening. That's even more horrific. And basically, when you punch that into Google Translate, it means Father Whipper. So it's a lot of these are Father Christmas, Father Whipper. It's somebody who's in a position of authority, who's kind of mystical, but that's what it means. It's a père, father, and I guess Fouettard is a whipper, but that's what it means. But when you have Google Translate do it, it translates as the boogeyman. Isn't it interesting? He's a scary character. So now in French tradition, I think there's two main origins theories about him is that one, he was an innkeeper or a butcher. But basically three young boys go off into the woods on their way to, religious school, some kind of a parochial school. And he thinks that they're rich. So the idea is that he's going to rob them. So it's either himself and his wife lure these kids back to his inn or butcher shop, and he either drugs them, cuts their throats, puts them in a barrel, or, you're seeing the barrel imagery or a sack, something carrying children off, salts them, cooks them into a stew.
Oh, hello, boys. Right this way.
Wait, this is Perry Futar or whatever?
Yeah, it's Perry. Yeah, that's it. Right. Futtered. Go ahead. No, it's, that's the French, that's Father Whipper. Okay, so either the butcher or the innkeeper, alone or with his wife, kill these children. Now, St. Nicholas comes by, sees this, and, restores the children to life, doing a good deed, because he is also, that's where you get to sainthood, performing miracles. So that's one aspect of it. Brings these kids back to life, and the butcher or innkeeper, Père Fouettard, is so he's repentant.
You can stop saying that.
No, I'm gonna keep doing it until someone complains. That's when I'm gonna stop. You don't count. I'm talking about one of our listeners.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing it right. But she sounds so good doing it on Google Translate.
Yeah.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slip covers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little
to your life.
Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So he brings them back to life, and either the innkeeper is so repentant and, you know, sorry for what he's done that he follows Father Christmas or Saint Nicholas or any of these other iterations that you want to call him. He follows him around, and he's basically the bad cop. And when kids are bad, he whips them and beats them.
Wow, that's an interesting story.
And you see, that's the thing. What I've come to realize is that it's the duality of good and bad, which is how the universe runs, Scott. You can't just have good. You can't just have bad. It's a balance. It's the yin and the yang.
Well, and you know, what's interesting to me is even here in America, we grew up as kids, at least I did, you know, you're going to get that lump of coal. It must come from this tradition.
Well, that's, like, but you know, that's the...
It's not just a joke about
St. Nicholas night. No, that's where the lump, you get a lump of coal in your shoe or your Charlie Brown. And but who would do that to a child here? We can't even imagine that here in the United States.
Well,
who would do that to a child?
I wonder why the bad cop didn't make it to the U.S.
Well, no, a version of him did, but I guess in the 30s there was a... I'm not sure if he's in my notes here, but I did read that there is kind of an American version who didn't actually have much to do with Christmas at some point. You know, again, things are getting watered down here over the years.
Right.
People forget traditions. They make up their own things, and some things stick and some things go away. I guess in the United States, talking about how things get filtered down, in the 30s, Pafutar appeared in the United States under a name called, he was called Father Flog or Spanky.
No, isn't it? Spanky.
Spanky.
But you're making this up.
I'm reading this off Wikipedia, which we try not to do, but I'm reading it right here.
Spanky.
That, well, this is the thing. In the 30s, you had radio shows, so they're borrowing things. But also, you know, the Pennsylvania Dutch, they also have a tradition of Krampus because they're immigrants from Germany and that area.
Yeah.
They
Who
bring
that
it
guy?
With them.
He has a different name, though. Like,
well, there's the character of the Belschnickel.
Yeah.
Belschnickel or Belschnickel.
Yeah.
And he's just another variation. So the basic appearance of this guy is that he's kind of grotesque and ugly. He's got either a long scraggly beard and unkempt hair.
No.
And he's covered in fur or wearing furs.
With the butcher guy, that was specific to France, right?
Well, that is it. Yeah, that's French. That's Father Whipper.
Father Whipper.
Right.
So the other Krampus is more demonic in nature, though.
He's more German, but he's also, again, it borrows from Roman mythology of the faun or the satyr, who's a half man, half beast, covered in fur, horns, tattered clothes, you know, kind of a grotesque character here. But he does a similar function as that in some cultures. He will ask you questions. You have to get the questions right. And if you don't, he whips you with his sticks or a stick. And if you're
good...
And
this guy's more human, though. He's less demonic than...
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Krampus,
no, or, he's not right. Yeah. He's more of a human figure, although kind of mysterious. You know, he is a... some have called him an elf of sorts. So one common characteristic of the appearance of this character is that he has a darkened face. And now when people portray him... You know, they're wearing blackface. So I was even mentioning this to Scott that just last Saturday, I think I was watching Saturday Night Live, and on Weekend Update, they had a little news bit of him because in the Netherlands, people are complaining because it's portrayed by a guy wearing blackface. But it goes back, that history goes way back to, they think maybe the Siege of Metz, which is a city in Eastern Europe, Eastern France, and Charles V tried to take this over. He was the king of Spain, I think, at the time. And it didn't go well, and so he was burned in effigy and dragged through the streets, this effigy of the king. So that's one theory, is that, well, his face is blackened because it's a burned effigy, or that his face was blackened because he comes down the chimney with Saint Nick.
Yeah,
so,
but Saint Nick doesn't get blackened when he... Just
well,
this one guy
he's
does?
Magical.
Oh, maybe the other guy goes first and cleans
this,
it.
This is my... Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the thing. You can make up and believe whatever you want.
There, it's dirty. You go first.
Now it's clean. And he's fatter. So,
right.
But that's the point, is that these things, I personally see it as that it's good and evil. This guy is supposed to be ugly and kind of and grotesque and scary. That's the idea. That's the purpose of this character, no matter what part of Europe you're in.
In America, we haven't had anybody since Spanky.
No, and that's the thing. Spanky wasn't necessarily or Father Flog, and he had a female character with him, Mother Flog, and they would also dole out punishments. See, so you see lasting kind of themes through here is that they dole out punishments to bad kids. Now, you have a child.
Yes.
And do you ever try and scare him into being good?
Well, that's a touchy subject.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, I know.
Not you know what? Not scare him, but do you try?
Well,
I'm
certainly not telling him that a long-tongued demon with horns is going to carry him into the woods in a basket.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? People were.
If he doesn't make his bed.
People were. I don't know. You know what? Life was a lot rougher back then,
true.
And you know, nowadays we wouldn't even think of that because it's horrific.
Well. And, it, you know, coming back to my friend George's trip to Germany,
yeah.
Right, George and Ashley, that when in addition to, like you said, it's very regional with Krampus. It's
right.
Very regional.
Right.
There's lots of different traditions that have evolved. And in Berchtesgaden, which is where they were, which I can't remember if I mentioned earlier, but near the border of Austria, in addition to Krampus, there's another guy named Butt Mandel.
I think this is just your wishful thinking that he's called that.
I mean this guy looks, it's like an angry bale of hay.
Yeah.
And it carries the chains and the
right.
bells. They make a lot of noise.
That's the idea.
And
right.
they went to this festival, and we have pictures from their trip. That
yeah.
was just a few days ago. We're so fortunate that this just happened to happen. We got some pictures from their trip, including I think they're going to let us use a movie.
Oh, do they have a picture of the guy, the character?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. yeah. And the other thing is, and what Georgia told me was that these are German military
uh-huh.
kids
yeah.
who are – dressed up, and they specifically are really looking for girls.
Of course.
And
of
so
course.
What they're doing is yeah. Ashley, his wife, was taking a lot of pictures of them, and when they clued
yeah.
in, like
right.
three of them came over.
Yeah.
And he says she was hiding behind some elderly German
You're
couple,
right.
and they were just whipping the mess out of
Oh,
them.
Really?
They're, yeah. And yeah. I, of course, I said to him, I was like, is this deviant at all? And he's like, no. There's nothing sexual
yeah.
about it. There's no,
right.
like, it's all the hits are on the legs. It doesn't move up, you know. But he said
yeah.
she got welts. You know,
oh, I'm sure.
Like,
yeah.
Apparently, he has a picture of this,
yeah.
which I'm. He's at this moment probably trying to convince her to let me put on the
right.
internet.
well,
because we're not using your
everywhere.
Last name,
right.
so maybe that'll
okay.
be fine. But still, it's so she was actually switched just
yeah.
a few days ago.
Well,
by Butt Mandel,
yeah.
who was out there with Krampus. Krampus
yeah.
was there too.
Okay, see, again, it comes back to this is the running theme throughout
tonight's
show. How
many guys are there? Why
well,
are there so many bad guys?
It's a bunch of different variations on this. Now you're mashing pagan rituals and just human nature. Basically, look, people have been good all year. They've tried to be. We want to blow off a little steam. So when Christianity started becoming a major influence, to sell it, they started letting folks keep their traditions, which is, you know, around the harvest or the end of the year, people let off a little steam. They have feasts. They get drunk. They have celebrations. And a lot of times it's the young men in town that would get a little drunk and tipsy, dress up as Krampus or these other characters, rattling chains, going around scaring.
Well, here, can just quickly, I want to read this little section
yeah.
From this travel website, actually. It's called Big Boy Travel, specifically about the running of the Butt Mandel in Berchtesgaden. The running of the Butt Mandel, Butt Mandeloff, is one of the most unique festivals in Europe and typically takes place on St. Nicholas Day. During the festival, unmarried men over the age of 16 get dressed up with bushels of straw around their bodies, scary devilish masks on their faces, and bells around their waists while running around town causing a ruckus. Young men who are taking part in festival for a second time or more graduate from the straw costumes to all fur costumes and even scarier masks. So I guess that's a freshman costume is the angry bale of hay.
You start off with the bale of hay,
yeah.
then you graduate to fur.
Then you graduate to fur,
yeah.
yeah. So some of the Butt Mandels, also known as the Krampus, those are the fur ones I think, based
yeah.
on this description, carry up to 45 pounds of bells, and the noise made is supposed to scare away the evil spirits of the winter solstice, which is the darkest time of year. The Butt Mandels try to catch, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, so I'm sorry.
the anyway, butts and mandels everywhere.
The Butt Mandels try to catch and poke the children in the streets and hit young girls in the legs with switches as a sign of fertility. Some of the houses the group visits have all their furniture moved into the street in an effort to make sure all of the evil spirits have left the home. The entire time they make their journey from door to door, the Butt Mandels are led by St. Nicholas as he blesses children and gives them gifts.
See, well, there you go. It's a mashup of all these different traditions. But basically, you have the tradition of the winter solstice coming into play, very old, where you have young men getting a little tipsy and running around. And what does this sound like, Scott? People dressing up, scaring evil spirits, demanding treats or tricks.
It's Halloween.
Exactly.
I was going to say that. There's a lot of common ground between this activity and Halloween.
And that's one of the ideas of Halloween is that you're not trying to so much scare other people, although you would like the treats and you would like to smack young girls in the thigh. That's always fun. But, you know, you're trying to scare away the evil spirits for the end of the year.
Send your angry emails directly to Forrest.
What's angry about that? Who doesn't like that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like you said, it's meant to be done in a playful way.
Yes.
As a traditional thing. Plus, they're drunk. Come on. That's what, you know.
Yeah.
You can't suppress that. And I think that's what the traditions of Christianity realize, is that, hey, we're to sell this, we got to let them have a little fun. You can't really suppress people. They're just going to get crazy at some point. You know what? This is an interesting point that we come to now, because when we first started doing this, I mentioned, we should do a Christmas theme show. And you said, well, what's, you know, nothing's really scary about Christmas. It's a time of joy and light and people having fun. And I was thinking, like, yeah, that's true. That's how we've come to see it.
I was completely overlooking Dickens, though. I mean,
oh well, there you go. That's a whole other area.
Frightening story.
No, but okay. So
specifically, A Christmas Carol.
One of the podcasts that I got turned on to when we first had this idea, and I was researching other ones, is Jim Harold, and he has a lot of great podcasts out there, and a Paranormal Plus Club, and it's the Paranormal Podcast.
Yeah, we really got to plug Jim, because he was a true inspiration to us in getting started. His show is different from ours.
Yeah, but we try to do something different, but as far as, like, he's the man, as far as, like, interviewing authors, and he's been doing it such a long time. I think he's been doing it since 2006, maybe. Yeah.
If you enjoy our show, you should definitely check Jim out.
Yeah, definitely.
My favorite one, he has a lot of shows. One of my favorite shows of his is Campfire, which is just people calling in and telling ghost stories. That's a great show. I love them.
Oh, yeah. No, we have to give a tip of the hat to Jim, and a really nice guy, very super guy. But
yeah, Jim, without if you ever hear this, Jim, without you, we wouldn't be here.
Well, you know what? We wouldn't think that it could be done so well for so long.
Right.
Leave it at that. But he interviewed this author, Mary Beth Crane, a few years ago, and she wrote a book called Haunted Christmas. And she did a lot of research on basically the pagan roots and kind of where the ideas come from. And they were talking about that. And Jimmy actually mentions that everyone knows it's the great Andy Williams Christmas song. What is that, Scott?
The most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, right.
You don't even think about that.
I know. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Read the line.
There'll be parties for... I'm not singing. There'll be... there's no... yes.
Yes, thank you.
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
See, there you go. And it's Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. It's a ghost story. Told in a very expert way here, just the way he had, if you're looking at structure, the past, the present, the future, all these things. But it's a long tradition. And so what we're getting at here, and what we'd mentioned earlier, is that, you know, Scott was saying, like, well, you know, yes, Christmas is a happy time, but traditionally it's a time of great paranormal activity, a great spiritual, a lot of things going on, because it's the darkness of the end of the year.
Yeah.
Into the birth of the new year and the rebirth.
And there's a lot of suicides of the at Christmas, too.
Well, yeah,
right?
It's a sad time. I think it is the number one time because it's with the happiness, people are reminded what they think they don't have and the sadnesses that they feel of loss and with family and things like that. So it can be a very, there's a lot of emotionality tied with Christmas.
And if you're listening to this show, which we released the day before Christmas Eve or as early as we could anyway.
Yeah.
Instead of our usual Friday, because it would have been after Christmas. Just know that we love you.
We love you, and we want you to keep listening. Traditionally, like, if you look at the origins of this, and we're getting back to the sticks and the twigs. We're going to get back to that. But what you have are these pagan rituals of the Celtic peoples, the peoples of Northern Europe, of the Alpine countries, where during the winter solstice and these different celebrations, you're celebrating these old traditions of, you know, some have to do with the Norse god Odin, that maybe that character is kind of filtered down to become Father Whipper and some of these other characters. Some of it could be based on the Germanic god Woden. I think I may be saying that right. So you have a lot of activity and legend going on at this time of year. And an old Norse or Germanic Northern European myth is called the Wild Hunt, which is a parade, as far as I can tell, a parade of ghostly figures on a hunt in the sky. And if you were to see this, it could foretell plague or some terrible thing happening. i.e. Mothman.
Well, yeah, that's just like
maybe
the Mothman.
Or foretelling of
supposedly,
something bad.
You know, in addition to being, by the way, we're just 3 days away from the 47th anniversary of the collapse of the Silver Bridge in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which 46 people died.
Oh, that's right.
And that was a that was right around Christmas as well.
Yeah.
And the Mothman, of course, was prevalent in the area prior to the bridge collapse and supposedly was not seen after the bridge collapse.
Right.
Now, and if
it was a year to the day, right, before.
Yeah. And if you read John Keel's book about the Mothman, there's reports of it being sighted over Chernobyl.
No way. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So well, anyway, that's interesting. It comes back to what you're saying about the battle in the sky and a portent.
Isn't that interesting, though, that we have a modern-day equivalent of seeing something weird and then something bad happening is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So in Germany, the Wild Hunt is also known as the Wild Army or the Furious Army, and you have leading the army in the sky of this phantasmagoria of spectral creatures, huntsmen. It could be Woden or Woden, Necht Rupert, Berchtold or Frau Berchta.
Inga, may I present Frau Blücher?
That was from Young Frankenstein, one of my favorites, Frau Blücher. But also, see, this character, though, Frau Berchta, she is a character much like Krampus. She whips the bad. She doesn't really reward the good, but she basically...
What does she look like?
What they all look like, a grotesque, haggard, tattered character. It's meant to get your attention. And so she goes around, and she's kind of like a witch. And I think she would also give gifts or punishments, depending on how good or bad you were or how well you answered the questions. Answer me these questions three. It's the from Monty Python. It's always the old character at the bridge. You must answer the questions. If you don't get it right, you're
Indiana
flung
Jones.
Into the void.
Yeah.
He chose poorly.
Exactly. See, these aren't new. All of these are old traditions carried down through millennia, and it's human nature. But what we're getting to here, as far as the sticks, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this earlier, but the twigs and the sticks, the neo-paganism. There's a great movie called The Wicker Man with Edward Woodward as this. I believe he's a British cop. He goes to investigate this island in Scotland where there's basically it's a whole village of neo-paganists led by Christopher Lee, the great Christopher Lee, and they're not very helpful. He goes to investigate the disappearance of a young girl, and they don't even claim that she was even there. But the more he gets into it, he realizes, like, wow, they got their own thing going on here. Christopher Lee plays Lord Summerisle, and he's just his great creepy self. But they're paganists, and so what happens is what I'm getting at here, where it ties into.
All I can think about is the Equalizer meeting one of the wizards.
Boy, if he was the Equalizer, he would have kicked all their asses. You wouldn't even have this problem.
Right.
But what happens is that this goes into their traditions of finding a sacrifice. And going back to what Mary Beth Crane had talked about in her book, Haunted Christmas, is that there's one person chosen as the Lord of Misrule. So on this day where people are able to let loose, I saw the movie, I saw some behind-the-scenes kind of stuff, and they talk about the lore of this and had some historians and anthropologists on. It's the idea of that you take a fool from the village or an unsuspecting person, or it could be a criminal or just an innocent, and you make them king for the day. You hoist them up, you treat them properly, and at the end of the day, you put them in this giant wicker character and you burn them alive as a sacrifice to the harvest of the new year. Crops aren't doing really well. Well, the gods are angry. It's all awful. It's very medieval. It's barbaric.
Especially to do that to the poor village.
Edward
idiot.
Woodward. Oh, he doesn't take it well either. Yeah. So
now, wait. So that's what. Okay. Let's not give away the whole movie.
No, but this is. But that's what we're getting at. And what does that sound like to you, Scott? That people are doing
Burning Man.
Exactly.
It's a lot like Burning Man.
It is Burning Man. That's what it is.
That was all started about some bad divorce or something.
But you're right. This guy, I believe in San Francisco. I went 1 year, I think in 99. Mm-hmm. I went one time just to experience it.
I've actually never
been.
I've wanted to go.
I don't want to see you naked. That's just nobody.
Well, then I'm definitely not going.
but it's a lot of people like you doing just letting loose. That's the idea, though. None of this is new. People are still doing it. And the other interesting aspect is that that's what it mutated into. Because I believe the origin story is that, a guy had a divorce he was going through, took some of his belongings that made him burn them. Yeah, and he burned them on the beach, I think somewhere in San Francisco or in the Bay Area. And it was like, it started off with like 12 of his friends. And it was such fun and it was cathartic. And it helped him get over this terrible relationship that he was trying to forget. And it turned into something else. That's what we're getting at here. It starts off with an idea that could be borrowed from something else, a legend, a myth. And over the years, it becomes a bigger, different thing. But still, the idea is the same. It's people blowing off steam and probably taking all kinds of weird stuff. So that's like nowadays. So that's where you end up, though. It's a celebration towards the end of the year, generally here tied with the harvest and Saturnalium. It's all these Yuletide, all these traditions that happen around this time. So again,
is Saturnalia?
Oh, that's an old Roman tradition. Basically, it's an ancient Roman festival in honor of the deity Saturn. It's held on December 17th of the Julian calendar. So basically, it's all around the same time, and it's a holiday that was celebrated with a sacrifice at the temple of Saturn. In the Roman Forum, and again, it's a time for a big feast. People getting together, getting drunk, letting off some steam, getting ready to put the old year behind them and bring in the new. And that's all this is about. It's the winter. It's the dying of the earth, making offerings,
hoping for a prosperous new year.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
In terms of crops and everything.
And it's slapping young women on the bottom. That's it all
legs,
comes back to
on the legs.
On the legs. Right. Yes. Nothing higher than the upper thigh.
Yeah.
But still, you know what I'm saying? But it's especially when you have a society where, it's a tiny village. You don't get away with that kind of behavior. Well, here's your chance to kind of put on a costume. Dress as Krampus or whatever it is, clang some bells and chains, kind of go nuts and have a bit of fun. So there's a Celtic seasonal tradition called Samhain, I think, and it's 2 weeks before Christmas. And here, evil spirits are unleashed upon the earth here before the rebirth of the sun and the new year. So ghosts and demons and everything, evil spirits, they start their work at the beginning of December, like the first week, and it goes through to like the 20th of December. Again, but it's the same idea. The Celts and the Picts, they're not German, but it's all tied together. And so here you're really digging into the very roots of very primitive human nature and lore, and these are the stories that result from that. And what I find interesting. So,
well, and I think that about covers it for our Christmas special.
I hope that was so Christmassy for you.
That was super Christmassy.
Burning people alive and
astonishing legends.
Exactly.
What are we going to talk
about? Getting slapped, salted, put into a barrel.
Well, here's hoping if you can't be with loved ones tonight, at least you're with some friends. And if you're not with friends and you're with us, and we're glad you're listening.
You know what? To go slap yourself on the thigh with some twigs.
Yeah.
And whoop it up. Let off some steam. And get ready for the new year.
Get ready for the new year. It's going to be a good year. I think 2015 is going to be a good year for everybody.
I think you're right. I think 2015 is going to be a year of great change. That's my prediction. A lot of different, varied, interesting things are going to happen.
A lot of interesting things are going to happen on our show, that's for sure. By the way, in a few weeks, I'm not sure exactly when, you can look for a store on our website. We're getting stuff in. We got some decals in already, which are very cool. We're going to be having hats are in transit to me, and we're working on T-shirt designs now. So if you're interested, if you like our logo or you're interested in supporting us, we'll have the store up soon, and of course we'll be making an announcement about that.
We also have an Astonishing Legends Krampus mask. We don't.
No,
wouldn't that be cool, though?
No,
you know what? I would one day hope to have some kind of Halloween thing because it's a great logo.
Yes, thanks again to John Mahorney who designed it for us.
Yeah, thank you, John. No, we're gonna get some merchandise in. So please tell your friends and load that shopping cart.
Yeah, now that we're no longer in the new and noteworthy section on iTunes, we're trying to get some real traction. So if you really do like the show, leave us some good reviews, which is great on iTunes, but also tell your friends about us. And if people aren't listening to podcasts or they don't want to get into all that, they can always just go to our website and play it back right there in their browsers.
That's the thing. Scott has compiled a lot of great, interesting links and photos of different stories, things that he and I have found at various sources, and we try and post it, things that we think might interest you. So go there.
We have a blog. We try to make an entry at least every 1 or 2 days on the blog as well with topics that we're not necessarily talking about on the show.
Well, happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll see you in 2015.
We'll be back on January 9th with television and screenwriter Paula Pell, who's been at Saturday Night Live for almost 18 years now and is a good friend of ours. She's coming in with a creepy story.
It's a good one.
I want to thank Judson Crane for our amazing theme music, Ryan McCullough for world-class sound design, and John Mahorney for our great logo.
Most importantly, we want to thank our listeners. You can find us online at astonishinglegends.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Google+. Good night.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground, and you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along, and with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures and must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
You know, if you can find the joy in the small moment, life will always be that much more fun. That's what Hello's oral and personal care products are all about. They take the mundane of every day and inject it with some everyday yay. Take Hello's anti-plaque and whitening fluoride-free toothpaste, for instance. It will brighten your routine and delight your senses with a formula that's equal parts fresh, friendly, and has plaque-fighting power. Or see the difference that a whitening toothpaste powered by vitamin C can do for your smile with Hello's vitamin C whitening fluoride toothpaste. With thoughtful and fun products that can make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to happy, to making the most of every moment. Say hello to a vegan, cruelty-free, and never tested on animals toothpaste. And say so long to dyes, parabens, artificial sweeteners and flavors, and other things you can do without. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabay Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slip covers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at WashableSofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out. So you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics.
They're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.